thank you for those readings. Let's have a word of prayer before we dive in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to look into it. Jesus, we thank you for being the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. We thank you that you are the radiance of the glory of God. And that you have made the invisible God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob visible to us. And we pray that as we look into your written Word and look to you, Jesus, the living Word, your Spirit would work in our hearts and our minds to give us understanding and wisdom, to transform us to be more like you, Jesus, in fellowship with you, Heavenly Father, for our joy, for our fulfillment, and for the glory of your Son, Jesus, and for the blessing of our communities. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was a teenager, before I would head out maybe on a Friday night or a Saturday night to spend time with my friends, my dad would oftentimes encourage me. He would say, "Peter, tonight, be a leader." Or maybe sometimes he might say, as I was walking out the door, he might call out from the living room, "Peter, remember, eagles do not fly in flocks." And it was just this admonition, this encouragement to not necessarily just go with the flow, to not necessarily just be like everybody else, not just get on and that sort of thing. And this encouragement to be different and to be a leader. And in Western culture, leadership is a value. Leadership is a virtue. You know, we'll give maybe a special award or a special kind of recognition to someone who exhibits leadership. And if someone on the football pitch is a leader, they get a captain's armband, and it's a good thing. If there's some sort of a group work, or in your workplace there's some sort of an assignment and you become the group leader or the team leader, there's some bit of prestige that comes along with that. And there's some bit of, for us as Westerners, we kind of stand up a little bit taller, and we kind of feel like, there's this responsibility and this privilege that's associated with being a leader. And there's also this sense of independence if we are the leader. If we are the leader, then we can kind of control the situation. We can manage our surroundings, and we can kind of keep tabs on different things. And it's certainly better to be the leader than to be the follower, because if you're the leader, then you have some measure of control. And you have some measure of retained independence, even in a group setting. And so leadership becomes a sort of aspirational thing for us as Westerners. And I don't necessarily want to say that's a bad thing. I don't necessarily want to sit back and be that guy who's like, everything that's Western is bad, and all Western culture needs to be demolished. No, I don't want to do that. But like every other culture and every other people and every other situation, that culture needs to be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we want to look at this evening. This is why I'm so pleased to be a trustee of DAI UK. And I'm so pleased with the work that Colin and John Rogers and our global partners all do in order to raise up servant leaders. And that's why I'm pleased that I was able to go to Burundi and see what's going on at New Gen and the leadership training that's happening there, and to be at Bujumbura Christian University and see how they're wanting to raise up Christian leaders to transform that nation. And it's just one example of so many around the world that we just wouldn't have time to enumerate. And in the readings, we saw in 1 Kings, we saw Rehoboam, and we saw his sort of brand of leadership. You know, my father, I've got more girth in my pinky than my father does in his loins. And this sort of bravado, and this sort of chest puffing, and this sort of, "I'm the leader, and you will do as I say. I'm the leader, I have control of this situation, and you all exist for my glory." And we see that contrasted strongly. We saw the wisdom of the elders in that passage saying, "Listen, no, don't do that. If you serve the people, they will serve you their whole lives." And then we see this mirrored sort of situation with Jesus and his disciples, where James and John are wanting to sit at Jesus' right hand and on his left. He says, you don't know what you're asking for. Isn't that interesting? One moment. Servant leadership. Didn't that passage in the Gospel of Mark conclude with Jesus saying, I didn't come to be served, but to serve? So isn't servant leadership all about hearing James and John's request and serving them? Let's just tuck that in the back of our minds for a little bit. One of the things when we talk about servant leadership and when we look at the earthly ministry of Jesus of Nazareth is we will think of servant leadership couched in this really quintessential story in John chapter 13. Do you guys know the story in John chapter 13? This is where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Okay, and I want to encourage you just to go back and read that. I'll summarize it here. But Jesus, the evening of the Last Supper, this very special night before he is going to be arrested, the disciples come into the home and Jesus wraps a towel around his waist and he does this really unfortunate task of washing his disciples' feet. These feet that have been walking in sandals through the dust and through the dirt, and he's going to get down and get gritty and get dirty, and he's going to say things like, no servant is better than their master. If I've done this, you need to do this too. And rightfully, we take this example of servant leadership and we want to say, as leaders, it doesn't matter how much of an eagle you are, you still sometimes need to, you know, be down on the ground. The Hoover still needs to be run. The coffee still needs to be poured. The rubbish still needs to be taken out. And that's been a really valuable and right lesson for us, particularly in the West, to have learned over the last few decades and to be reminded of. And it becomes a measure by which we gauge leaders often. Does this guy, even though he's the CEO, does this guy, even though he's the manager, does this woman, even though she's the team leader, does this person, even though they are staff at church, are they willing to take out the trash? Are they willing to pour the tea? Are they willing to run the Hoover? Do we ever see that happen? And you know the interesting twist of fate that has happened? Those acts of servant leadership have stopped being servant leadership. We all know that. And so it's not uncommon for us as leaders to think, oh, better run the Hoover so that people consider me a servant leader. Whoa. It just stopped being servant leadership. No longer was the Hoover being run to serve the purpose of the organization. No longer was the rubbish being taken out in order to promote and advance the mission of the church or whatever entity you're talking about. The rubbish was taken out, the Hoover was run, the tea was poured so that the people would look at the leader and go, ah, you're a servant leader. And it became self-serving leadership. And we need to have an eye for that in ourselves first and not be deceived by that in others. Surely Jesus' servant leadership, as we saw in John chapter 13, included that element of menial task, dirty chore, unpleasant thing that no one really wanted to do. And we need to be ready and willing and then actually do those things if we want to serve as Jesus has served. But you know, Jesus' earthly ministry was not simply marked by washing feet or making breakfast on the beach post-resurrection. He also did some pretty amazing things. It would take too long to cite book, chapter, and verse throughout the four Gospels of the profound things that Jesus did, feeding 5,000 people, plus women and children, healing the sick, cleansing lepers, preaching to the multitudes. He was still a servant leader when he was doing all of those things. The fundamental question in servant leadership is, who are you serving? And if the church corporately is going to take a servant leadership role in our society, the question is, who is the church serving? And if Jesus of Nazareth were to walk through these doors, say, this isn't my actual return, but I'm just going to pop in for a sec. All right? And come and say, Jesus, who are you serving? I wonder, who might he say first? Who would he say first he's serving? It might be hard. I mean, we probably think to different statements Jesus has made throughout the Gospels, like, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. A little bit later on here in the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, looking forward at his crucifixion, he's going to say, if there's any way that this cup could be, passed by me, God, let it be so, but not my will, your will be done. And his first service was to his heavenly Father. However, that being said, every bit of service Jesus of Nazareth conducted towards his heavenly Father strangely had us as the object, as the recipient. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. You and I have been ransomed by Jesus' service to his heavenly Father. His service to his heavenly Father is indistinguishable from his service to us. And so as we think about servant leadership, the first question we have to ask is, am I serving myself right now? Whether it's a menial task or a grand task, am I serving myself? Am I serving my own glory? Are people going to be thinking well of me as a result of me doing this, and that's my motivation? And let's be honest, we're all a mixed bag, aren't we? I mean, I could probably count on less than one hand the number of times I've done something purely altruistically. And isn't that the story of humanity? Isn't what the Bible tells us about us as people? No one's righteous, not even one. We're all a bit tainted. We're all a bit corrupted. When we go to do good, evil is right there with us. And it's not so much that we have good deeds and bad deeds on either side of the scale, but it's an issue of cleanliness or uncleanliness. It's an issue of contamination or purity. And we all stand before God as contaminated and in need of purification. Yeah, I mean, let's just be honest. I stand up here to serve God and to serve you, but I like it. And I hope you guys think I do okay. Oh, I appreciate it. That's very kind. You know what I mean? And yeah, you know what? There are times when I'm running the Hoover and I'm thinking, I sure as heck hope somebody sees this. Because I'm pretty sure they think I'm just in it for the stage. You know, but, you know, we're a mixed bag. And we're in need of the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our minds through faith in Jesus Christ. And praise God he does that in us and for us. That's fantastic. But the first question in servant leadership is this for me, my name, my glory? Is this so that I can have a name and I can have a place? Have I turned this into the Tower of Babel? God, don't scatter us. We want a name. We want a place. We're going to make a name for ourselves. Or am I following in Abraham's footsteps? Am I following in Abraham's life where God says to Abraham, I will give you a name and I will give you a land. I will give you a place. So am I serving me or am I serving God? And in my service to God, am I serving you? When Jesus was asked in the Gospel of Luke, what's the greatest commandment? He said, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's indistinguishable, loving God and loving your neighbor. It's inseparable serving God and serving each other. And so we have this idea of servant leadership. I'm going to serve you all. And then something funny happens. I'm going to serve you means I'm going to do what you ask. Isn't that service? Isn't that what a servant does? I ring a bell and the butler comes running. That's what a servant does, right? I'm glad you thought that was funny. That was good. I thought it was funny too. That was the hope. But isn't that what a servant does? Bing. So, yeah. And so we think servant leadership, I'm going to serve God by serving you. And someone comes up to me and says, Peter, I really think that we need to do this, 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 and this, don't you think? And as a servant leader, am I allowed to say no? Or, let me think about that. Let's have another conversation and let's include some other people. And if that's not the direction we take, he's not much of a servant leader. And then do we just end up chasing the tail of whatever request is in front of us as servant leaders? Always trying to keep up with whatever the request is. That's not how Jesus exercises servant leadership. James and John, Jesus, we think left and right hand. We would like that. Servant leadership. Oh, okay. No. He says, oh, hold on. You guys have missed something. That's not for me to grant. You don't really know what you're asking about anyway. The answer is no. And Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. Was that really what the disciples were wanting? Even after his resurrection, before his ascension, didn't the disciples ask him on the Mount of Olives, Jesus, is it now that you're going to establish your kingdom? That's what we want. Get rid of Rome. Establish your kingdom. Yay, Judea! That's what we want. And Jesus says, no, it's not what's happening. Servant leadership has to have an eye on the purpose and has to have an eye on what God wants for that group that leader is intended to be serving. And has to be willing at times to say no. And has to be able to say no and say yes. Humbly, wisely, and with a firm conviction of the call of God on that person or group of people. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many, and nothing would detract him from that, even when it irritated the people he came to serve, because what they really needed was redemption. And so as servant leaders, many of you in your workplaces, in your homes, in other relationships. As a part of the body of Christ here in Virginia Water, meant to be servant leading in our society and in our community, do we have a vision for the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in our time and place? And will we bring our best, our very lives, not to our own glory and not to the idea that people go, oh, you're a servant leader, but will we bring our very best to the advancement of that redemptive work? And there are times when it is less servant leader-like to run the Hoover. Jesus didn't always wash people's feet, though he did. Jesus had to do that which only he could do. That which he was called to do at that time and that place for the work of redemption. And this morning, Richard Buse talked about being the right person at the right time, or the right place with the right book. Will we acknowledge, will we have eyes to see and ears to hear when we are God's right person in the right place with the right material to make a redemptive impact in our world and bring the kingdom of Christ to bear in our time and place? Will we have the courage to be misunderstood as Jesus was? Will we have the wisdom to discern that which we must do to serve the objective, bringing our very best? Or will we chase the tail of other people's expectations that will never be caught anyhow? This is my vision for servant leadership. This is what I hope for myself because I'm bad at it. This is what I hope for us. This is what I hope for through DAI and for the leaders that are being served around the world through its ministry. Not so that DAI is great or that Christ Church Virginia Water is great, but so that Christ will be great. I am fleeting, you are fleeting, we are fleeting. Christ is forever. So let's serve our Heavenly Father by serving each other with our eyes fixed on Christ's redemption, bringing our very best, whether menial or grand, to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ through His life, death, resurrection, ascension, and sure return. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that by your Spirit, you would work in us the Christ-likeness of servant leadership. We pray that we would bring our very best to any task, whether it be menial and dirty or grand and lofty, for the purposes of your kingdom and your gospel. Save us from the pitfalls of serving self through servant leadership. Save us from the pitfalls of chasing the tail of other people's expectations and calling that servant leadership. But Lord, give us vision for the redemptive work that you have called us to participate in our time and our place, and give us courage to bring our best to that. Out of love and service to you, Father, shown by our love and service to our neighbor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.